What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hurts in the gun. On first down, he goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. Boy, that'll lock it up.
Boy, he is a special football player.
He sure is. Unfortunately, it did not quite lock it up because then it got really close at the end. But the Eagles, of course, held on. An epic victory by the Eagles, a thrilling victory, and one that was obviously a tightrope of a game and excruciating in some ways for all of us for a couple hours because it hung in the balance in such a big way for such a meaningful game, but they pulled it out. All right, for more on this game and where the Eagles head from here, which, by the way, is right back to Lincoln Financial Field in 6 days, let's talk to Seth Joyner. Seth with us every Monday at this time, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it is a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. As an Eagles alum, a great Eagles player, I got to imagine Mr. Seth Joyner extremely proud of the Birds. Good morning, Seth.
Just happy, man. Happy. What a time to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Who could imagine back in July when training camp started, yeah, we'd be sitting where we're sitting? Who could imagine, you know, after the angst and turmoil of the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season trying to get positioned for the number one seed, that everything has to come through Philadelphia?
It's amazing. And against, and look, no disrespect meant to Washington, who's done a great job lately, but I don't think they're a juggernaut. I mean, as NFC championship games go, and believe me, Seth, I'm not taking it for granted, but it could have been a lot harder. I mean, let's put it this way. It's not Bills Chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an advantage.
Hey, listen, I mean, I'm going to stand on what I've been saying all along. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are simply a better football team than a lot of the football teams that they faced.
I agree.
You know, people asked me last week, what do you think? I'm like, you know, this team knows how to win. So I'm not concerned. You know, yeah, we got Jaden Daniels, and he's looked fantastic the last 3 or 4 weeks. But we beat him the first time. I don't think he was full strength the first time we played
him. Yeah, he looked banged up.
And I think that when we played him the second time, I think that the defense was really caught off guard on how fast and how quick and how elusive he can be, and just how good he, you know, he can pass the football.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then, you know, you throw the other, you know, elements into the fray. Jalen Hurts goes down. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets thrown out. I think those two elements play into a comeback for the Washington Commanders. And before Jalen got injured, you know, if people don't remember, we had that game, you know, we were up 14-3 or 14-0 at one point. So with a full complement back, I'm not worried about the Washington Commanders.
Good. I love it.
Because this football team simply knows how to win.
They do. So, all right, Seth, let's get to – yes, go ahead, John.
We had a lot of worries about the defensive side without N'Kobe Dean in there.
Mm-hmm.
How did things look with a new linebacker, you know, Trott and Oren Burks? It looked like Burks had the run more than Trott, but what did you make of the way they came together to play?
Listen, neither one of them are N'Kobe Dean. You know, there were times where while we were watching the game, you know, my pre- and post-game guys, Derek Gunn and Mark Farzetta, I looked at them and I was like, can somebody tell me? I know Oren Burks on the field, but has he done anything? You know, and particularly, you know, when they get into, you know, that five-man front where they walk Zach Bond down late and he's the lone backer, you know, he's got a one-gap. He's pretty much got a one-gap responsibility, and then he's flowed to the ball either way. So wherever they're running the ball, if they're not running it at his gap, he's just running free to the football. I'm like, you know, I wish I could have played a game where all I got to do is run to the football and I don't have to worry about nobody cutting me off. But I, you know, listen, they got it done. And then there were some other instances where, you know, he showed up and made some tackles, made some plays. So they miss N'Kobe. There's just no doubt about it, because I think he understood the defense a hell of a lot more and just knew where to fit. I figured that Oren would play a better game this week than he did last week with a full week of practice, and, you know, he looked better.
What about on the outside, Isaiah Rodgers forced into action? How did he look? And if we have to continue, I don't know if he's injured. It looked like he might have hurt something at the end of the game.
Looked like a calf.
Yeah, when he leapt up, it looked like he might have tweaked the calf. But I don't want to take a guess on that. How did he play? How did it, assuming we do get Quinyon back? I mean, how much faith do you have that Quinyon can function at a high level with this shoulder injury? I'm sure you've had lots of AC separations.
Well, I hope that, you know, the young buck can heal quickly. You know, I love the signing of Isaiah Rodgers, and I kind of felt like when they signed him, before we knew that we were going to have a Quinyon Mitchell, that he would be, you know, on the other side, the starter on the other side. Teams do seem to target him when he's in the game. The interception that the receiver took away from him. I mean, he's always
– oh, man.
He's always,
that looked so bad.
He's always right there, you know, but the opposing wide receiver just seems to make a play.
Yeah.
You know, jeez. But he's there. It's like, you know, like microscopic there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it's, you know, him being out of football for a year, you know, whether that's affected. But I know when he, you know, before he got suspended in Indianapolis, I mean, he was like one of the top flight cornerbacks that people were talking about.
Yeah, he was playing well as a young guy. Seth, yesterday, so you're like, to me, you're a man of steel, right? I'm not quite Superman, but like were you nervous?
Hell yeah.
Okay, I'm just wondering, because I mean, I was dying,
not
Seth.
Not as nervous as you.
Seth, I was dying.
He wants you to say were a mess.
I'm just trying to understand. you know
what I was, Joe? I was pissed.
Okay.
I was really pissed. Because when Saquon rips that 78-yard runoff, and you go up 28-15.
Should have put the game away right there.
Yeah, game,
right?
game should be over.
It pissed me off because we allowed them to walk down the field, essentially.
Yeah, that was 10 plays. I know.
10 plays, 70 yards, a minute and 48 seconds. Okay? Now, you're not in a position to play prevent in that situation because there's over 5 minutes left in the game.
So what was different about the way that they played off?
More off than normal?
How off is that?
Go back to the first game, you know, I've talked about it many times. The first game, we were really, really aggressive. Then we played Atlanta, and we played off. And Kirk Cousins just carved us up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come back, we play aggressive against the Browns. Then we go to Tampa Bay, and we play off. And Baker Mayfield is just, you know, throwing the ball all over. It's like a 7-on-7. That first defensive possession after the 78 run by Saquon Barkley, that's the way we played. We played off. And then they score a touchdown.
Wow, that is
really off.
I just took a glance at the offness. It is as off as off gets. Almost like the cornerback is not on the screen.
It was almost like, you know, it's going to take them 5 minutes to go down the field and, you know, or 4 minutes, and then we'll get the ball and we'll run the score.
That is so off.
And they kept getting out of bounds. It kept stopping the clock.
Absolutely.
It was bad. It was bad.
Where does the... Okay, the cornerback staying off like that, is that Slay's decision? Is that Vic Fangio actually telling them to be that far off the line of scrimmage?
John, nobody's making that decision but the defense coordinator. And I love what Vic Fangio has done. But, you know, everybody talked about that defense and Sean Desai and Jonathan Gannon. And we got our first real glimpse of it yesterday. And I just didn't like it. Just keep playing the way that you're playing.
Yeah.
Because when they come back after they score and then they're on that drive down where they go out, where they actually, the game times out, Yeah. Now they're playing more aggressive. Slay's knocking balls down, you know, right there on the wide receiver. Why not play that way the entire game?
I get it. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Seth with us this entire hour, 215-592-9494. What Saquon and Jalen Hurts said after the game in a terrific interview on the field. We'll get to that shortly. Joe right now joins us. Joseph, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Joe.
Pumped up, my man.
Yeah, I was fired up. I was down at the game last night. It was excellent. I actually just drove back from Philly up to Connecticut where I live.
Good man.
The stadium was electric.
Are you near Fairfield?
I'm actually up in Harford County.
Yeah, about an hour from Fairfield.
Right. Yeah, so it was a hike, but it was good listening to the show. But the stadium definitely was electric. I will say there was like it was a roller coaster of emotions down there, especially with you know, like Jake Elliott was struggling, obviously, on and off. So that was definitely.
And by the way, not just was like a game, is.
He's a mess. He's psyched out. He has psyched himself out.
I'm ready to move on, Joe. I mean, I didn't come to that conclusion lightly. I'm ready to sign the best available kicker.
It's crazy. This team is not going to go do that.
Y'all are absolutely insane.
Do you know he
kicked three field goals in the second half that if he misses one of those field goals when he needed to make the –
But he missed two 33-yarders.
You're right. Every quarterback – I mean, every kicker in the NFL does. But when he needed to make them, when we had to have them in the third and fourth quarter, guess what? He was money for 44 yards.
Do you have faith that he'll make that next time?
I have faith that when he needs to make a kick, John, that we can count on him to make a kick.
I don't.
What field goal has he missed? He missed the extra point. What are you talking about?
But I'll say this, Seth. If Stafford gets that ball in the end zone, we all say Jake Elliott blew the game.
When I look at his eyes, it makes me, and I don't know if I'm jumping to conclusions
and
here.
And Seth, I love the guy, but he's not, right now, I can't trust him. And I think Sirianni's coaching around it. Anyway, Joe, give me one more point. I know you don't call often. Give me what you got.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I literally thank, like, the football gods every single time I watch Saquon play. The guy is incredible. You know that he's good for at least one or two of those runs a game, and he showed up in the biggest way for us.
He's amazing. I mean, Saquon is a freaking hero. He's a superhero.
He does a great job of setting up the block.
Single season that any guy has ever had that I can remember from an Eagle, and I'm just thankful that we got
Eagle-wise, it might be. I mean, look, Reggie 87 was ridiculous because it was 21 sacks in 12 games. So there have been, Van Brocklin won the, I mean, I'm too young, but he won MVP in 60. But, I mean, there are some in a T004. This is incredible. There's no question. This is incredible. All right, tomorrow I can guarantee our poll question is going to be, should the Eagles sign a different kicker for the game? All right, we know Seth's a no. Rhea, yes or no? Door number one, Jake Elliott. Mm-hmm. Door number two, best available free agent kicker, whoever that person is. Where are you going?
I don't know who's behind door number two.
Well, none of us do, but
I'm just saying I'm sticking with
Jake. You're Jake.
Yep.
Seltzer?
Yeah, begrudgingly, I'm sticking with Jake.
And John, you're still Jake?
It's too late.
It's not too late. I got to use Craig Kimbrell.
No, you don't.
At this point, you don't have to use Craig Kimbrell.
At this point, bringing someone in off the road and just a random... You can't do that. You can't do that to the kicker.
But I can. Let me give you an example. Last year, the Eagles' mentality was, I've got to start James Bradbury in the playoff game. He's been our starter all year. He's a veteran. He's been really good in the past. He's my starter.
Coach is so
And James, you know I said, don't start him in this game.
The same.
Now, they probably would not have won with one of the other guys because they got blown out. But that was the worst performance I ever saw an Eagles player have in a playoff game. Like, Seth, I don't think they have to have Jake Elliott kick. Just sign someone else.
They're better off if they leave him.
Do you know the level of pressure that's going to be on another kicker that you bring in here off the street?
I don't think it's more pressure than Jake has right now. Jake is so in his head.
I like Jake under pressure because when Jake is under pressure and he needs to get it done, he steps up and he gets it done.
But why did he miss two extra points then?
Yeah, you never know, man. The conditions were bad.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I hope that's it.
I do too.
I do believe it's too late.
He's a Pro Bowl kicker.
He's your best option.
He's a playoff kicker. He's kicked in a Super Bowl before.
Yeah.
He understands the pressure of those moments, and he's been money in a lot of different spots.
I think he's afraid now.
And I think that, you know, if you go and you bring somebody else in, not only do you mess up the chemistry between him and the holder and the snapper, but you put so much pressure on that guy that he's going to come in. He's going to come in here and crap the bed at the most inopportune time. I'd rather have Jake Elliott, the guy who's been here and done that for us, I'd rather have him do it than to have somebody else come in.
I would too at this point, but had we brought someone else in to just try out in November, mid-November, hey, let's see you two guys kick off. Let's see you two
they
guys
might
kick
have
from
we don't,
40,
they might have,
50.
And we don't know it.
No,
it's
I think
possible.
We would know if they brought other kickers in.
I don't know about that.
Of course we would know, wouldn't we?
I think they would keep that pretty quiet, is my gut feeling. But anyway. All right, let's listen to Saquon and Jalen Hurts. After the game, they were pumped up as they should be. Here's an interview on the field with Melissa Stark.
Saquon, I'm going to start with you because you told me that if someone had said to you as a kid that you'd be playing a divisional playoff game in the snow, your eyes would have lit up. What was it like to play in these elements?
The elements was great, but the atmosphere was even better. Our fans are amazing. That was a close one, but that's playoff football, and at the end of the day, we got the job done.
And you had the best game of your career earlier this season against the Rams. You had another one tonight. What is it about you and this team?
It starts up front. It starts up front with those guys, and then when you have a quarterback that can take it 50 yards to the house, that opens up stuff for you, too.
Yeah, you guys were just talking about how many rushing yards you each have. Is there like a little competition between the two of you?
Nah, our O-line won 300 tonight, and we only got 285, so we got to do a better job next week for those guys.
Disappointed with the 285 total?
I'm happy about the win. Give credit to that defense, too, and how they played. Got those turnovers. We only got 3-on-1. They simulated the snap on our quarterback sneak, so... we found a way to win. That's all that matters in this time of the year.
Well, and you did, and you emphasized to us this week over and over that this team finds a multitude of ways to win. You did that again. What does it say about this Eagles team?
Well, I don't know if it'll snow next week, but rain, sleet, or snow, Eagles train to go. We'll be ready to go.
Do you love playing in the snow?
I love playing football. How about that? I used to put it on when we played a video game as a kid. I put the snow on 100 and all that, but that was as a kid.
And now you get to host next weekend. I mean, what does that mean for the team and for all these fans?
Well, it comes through Philly. That means everything for this city, this team, and we got everything we want in front of us, taking it a game and a day at a time, but we'll go enjoy this one and move on to the next.
And I can't let you go. You and I were just talking about your knee. You went into the medical tent. You came out with a brace. How is this going to affect you next week?
Yeah, well, I'm sure I'll get asked about it later. I don't know if I can answer it right now, but we're going to go enjoy this win with my teammates.
Are you okay?
I finished the game.
Yes, you did.
I finished the game.
You finished and won the game. Congratulations, guys.
Jalen Hurts and Saquon with Melissa Stark. Good interview right there. Seth, what'd you make of the snow and the impact in the game? There was a lot going on out there.
Gosh, I think in a lot of ways the snow was a great benefit for us yesterday. That offense, you know, Matthew Stafford was just on it early. And so were we. I mean, you know, the 44-yard touchdown run by Jalen early. It's good to hear Saquon talk about the importance of having a guy that can take it 50, because I've been saying for a long time the importance of having Jalen Hurts on the field helps the overall running game.
No question.
And how important he is, you know, to that offense. You take that element away, that's what happened in the Washington game,
right?
And all of a sudden we can't run. I mean, Saquon Barkley had 47 yards rushing in the second half of that Washington game. He had 150 for the day, 47 in the second half and I think he averaged something like 1.7 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have Jalen Hurts on the field, I cannot, you know, it's just, you know, when you look at it from a defensive perspective, like I look at the game, you understand how important he is. That backside end has to stay home when he's in the game. And that gives Saquon one less guy to have to contend with. So if you get man on blocking across the board, if that free safety doesn't make the tackle, he's out of here. And you saw it happen twice yesterday.
Oh,
It was happening all the time. They're trying to stuff the box, and the safety can't make the play anyway.
It's almost like playing an eight-man box. You know, we really used to know back in the day the way that you defeat an eight-man box. If you've got seven-on-seven blocking, you leave the backside defensive end by himself. And because you know he can't chase it down. Because if you run one reverse, you know, he's screwed. So he's not going to chase it down. So anytime you get a heavy box, you just go man across the board the other direction and leave that guy, that end guy, unblocked. But even that end guy is impacted now because if Jalen pulls the ball, I mean, and their, some of their blocking schemes are just like insane, you know.
Yeah, it's,
I've been watching for a long time Jeff Stoutland and how they have, you know, how they have developed some of these blocking schemes. You know, when they go the counter tray pull where they pull the backside guard and tackle.
Yeah.
And then Jalen turns around and hands the ball to Kenny Gainwell, and he's not running with the pullers.
Yeah,
he's
going opposite.
He's going where the pullers
going
came
away
from.
Right.
And he has no blocking back there.
But the beauty of that is the linebackers are following the puller.
Well, in many cases,
the linebackers, you're locked in to follow the pull. So as a linebacker, you're going the other way. Meanwhile, Kenny Gainwell's coming the wrong way back where you were.
The caveat is understanding where the running back is. Mm-hmm. Because the running back is on the side that the pull is coming to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the giveaway for the linebackers. Because if
they got to think about it backwards,
If they're really going to go with the pull, John, he has to start on the side or he's got to be in the pistol in order to get with the pullers. But when you line them up the opposite of the pullers and you hand the ball off, they're thinking he's just going to take it downhill and go with the pullers, and he's going the opposite direction. And the defensive end is standing there just frozen.
Motion to the near side. Stafford. Back. He's looking. He puts it in the air, and it's incomplete. It's incomplete. The Eagles take over on downs, and now they are heading for the NFC Championship game. Pressure by Carter.
Well, total electrifying game, obviously, and Merrill and Mike with tremendous calls yesterday in the broadcast. Great to be with you on this Monday morning. Look, we'll get you ready all week for the Eagles in Washington. Today's been a lot more about yesterday, of course. But starting tomorrow, we'll start, you know, moving it ahead to the Eagles in Washington. Now, let's sort of do a little on yesterday and a little on next game all at the same time here. Seth, the Jalen aspect of the upcoming game. We're speculating, and that is totally the word, we're speculating that it could be an MCL sprain. Did it look like that to you? And if so, what does that mean as it relates to him playing in 6 days?
I don't know. I mean, he got it caught behind him. It's not an ideal position to be in. So it's somewhat of a sprain. It's hard to tell where he is and where he's going to be because the conditions just weren't conducive, you know, to us really to be able to see where he is after the injury. And his lateral movement did not look well. Like on that second down play where they ran that bootleg. I mean, first of all, we have no business running that down play. Your quarterback's not nimble. You've already run it three times. You think the defense might be onto something.
First play of the game, you ran it.
So we just don't know where he is, Joe. But if you know anything about Jalen, no matter how he feels or where anybody thinks he's at, he's going to come out and try to do what he's got to do.
He is tough, man.
Yeah.
And we've been very lucky. I mean, Donovan was tough. I mean, he played with a broken ankle, 4 touchdowns. Carson obviously had to come out of the season with a torn knee, but he initially stayed in and threw a touchdown pass. I mean, Jaws was obviously as tough as any quarterback I've ever seen. So Jalen's tough, man. He is. That was, like I said earlier, that was a John Wayne. He wasn't great, obviously, after it, but he did what he could, which I thought was very admirable. Who would you have as the second stringer, Seth, knowing that you may be more likely to go to a second stringer this week than normal? Would you have Pickett or McKay?
If the weather's good, I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting Tanner McKee because
As the backup, you mean? The number two?
Yeah. If Jalen can't go, I mean, I just think that he's the best pure passer that we have on the football team. Now, he can't affect the run game the way that, Jalen can.
Yeah.
And what we are and how we're built right now, we're built to run the football. My greatest concern about the effectiveness of Jalen is that Dan Quinn is no dummy. he's going to put him in position where he's going to have to prove whether he can run or not. And if he makes the determination that he cannot run, then we're going to get a lot of the same defense that Kenny Pickett saw in the second half of that game.
Loading up on Saquon.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
And they can run a lot more man with comfortability, but I don't know if they want to do that. They man up with the safeties over the top where, two man is the way you call it, because then you got that extra safety net on both sides for Devontae and
They'll probably put Hurts in a position to prove that he can beat them through the air and with his legs. I mean, and that's likely the way they'll play it.
But their greatest concern is whether he can be effective in the run game.
Yeah.
Like that 44-yard run set the stage for everything else offensively yesterday.
And he couldn't do that in the second half. That was off the table.
And the problem is Dan Quinn is going to say, "Okay, we're going to take away Saquon. We're going to force you to pull the ball and we want to see how effective you can be running the football."
Yeah.
And if you can't be effective running the football, then for the most part, we can make you one-dimensional by loading the box the way that we did, crashing guys off the edge and taking Saquon away, because you can't run away from anybody.
I'm with you, man. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. By the way, quick call for let's get the Eagles to use that one Lions play I never saw before. I thought that was one of the great plays ever. That little handoff flip thing.
The pitch. Whatever that thing was.
Like, I mean, when Tom Brady's telling you he's never seen a play, and I never seen that before, I thought that was so cool.
I thought you were going to call for the Mariota play.
No. But you know what is interesting? A lot of teams are starting to use someone else for the tush push, which makes sense. Some teams use tight ends. Yeah. I mean, it does make sense. And obviously the Eagles did succeed with the tush push, but it didn't count because, you know, Lane had jumped off sides.
He said he simulated their snap count.
Yeah,
that's against the rules.
Yeah.
You mean you can see a leg twitch from 30 yards away, but you can't hear the damn.
Yeah, really.
Oh, they got
it's
away
ridiculous,
with one.
Isn't it?
I mean, that's what he said.
The officiating is a damn joke.
Well, by the way, Seth, let's just quickly get to, because this could be a 3 weeks from now Eagles-Chiefs thing. What's going on with the protection of Mahomes? Man, is it travesty?
Do you really want to get me started?
Yeah,
You were watching my Twitter line
this weekend, didn't you?
I mean, I went in on the commissioner, the NFL officiating. I mean, anybody that had an NFL moniker on it, avatar. I went in on it. I mean, it's like they're not even trying to hide it anymore. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And good for Aikman for calling it out on the
Aikman
broadcast.
Aikman was great
good
on
for
it.
Him.
Oh, come on.
Good for him.
And he normally doesn't go off like that.
Rhea, as a quarterback, they usually protect each other.
Yeah.
So for him to step out and say that tells you a lot. That not only him, but a lot of people are having, problems with this.
Totally.
That game, people were like, oh, but in the second half, it didn't matter because, they couldn't handle the Chiefs. Well, don't you think what happens in the first half kind of sets the table for what happens in the second half?
Sure.
If they don't call the roughing the passer where he hits the guy in the chest and give them a first down, that's a fourth down and punt situation.
Right away, right? They changed the game. I think that was first possession or second. Right away, the game was
second,
off.
The game was off.
It was unfair early.
It was ridiculous. Then you get the, roughing the passer while he's dancing around. He decides he wants to sit down. And you get the two defenders that run into each other underneath him. And they still throw the flag.
It's ridiculous.
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. I'm like, we're watching you. I'm looking at the ref and I'm saying to myself, you do know we can see you cheating.
You know we can see it, right? You and I are on the same page, man. 1,000% the same page. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Time's yours shortly. Jake and Delco right now. What's going on, Jake?
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Great, Jake.
What's up, Jake?
What's up, Seth? Nice to talk to you, man. You were a great Eagle. It's an honor, as well as you, John.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Brian. So, are you guys aware of how many rushing yards the Eagles have this season as a team at this point?
7,522.
You should know better than to mess with the hammer, man.
Close, but it's actually only about half of that, 3,502 as a team. So, they have an outside chance of hitting 4,000 if Saquon gets,
Well, that's probably something that normally only happens in college with those ridiculous attacks that are like the wishbone and you get 300 a game. And, even then, I don't know if you get to – well, maybe with how many games they play now. But, yeah, that's rarefied air.
Right. Hey, so speaking of that Chiefs game, can either, you know, can somebody give me at least some football explanation for why they would have even, when the punter ran around and caused that safety, weren't they?
Yes,
down,
I'll give you the answer. I'll tell you exactly.
I can't wait to hear this.
No, the answer is very simple. So they had a two-possession lead, and they kept the two-possession lead. The only way they could lose the game when it was time to punt, the only way they could lose is to have a blocked punt.
Onside kick. And yep. Then, yep.
It's the only way they could have lost. And by running out of bounds, they took time off, still had a two-possession lead.
You practiced that every Saturday.
And it became mathematically impossible for the other team to win. That's why.
That's a Saturday morning run around the punter. Every Saturday morning, that is practice just because you have it in your back pocket and you finally used it.
Jake, he would not have done that if they were up 8 and it made it a 6-point game. But because they were up by enough that it still was more than a touchdown, that's why they did it. It's the right call. It's the right call.
It's the right call?
Yeah, it's the right call.
Seth doesn't agree.
No, Seth doesn't agree.
Andy loves that.
I'm like, the minute he did that, I tweeted him, like, can somebody tell me what the line is on this game?
Well,
got to be kidding me.
And so it varied. John won because it was 8.5 in our thing on Friday, but it had gone up to 9.5. And for people that bet at 9.5,
9.5, 15 minutes before the game kicked off.
It screwed those people.
Wow.
Or won it for them. Oof. I will say, and Jay, good call, buddy. It's funny as a society, we always look at the people that get screwed in those moments. But then there's 50% of the people that are going crazy with joy in those moments. So, by the way, John, you and I are very close in our picks. I'm a half behind you, one half a game behind you with 3 games to go.
Because the other game that I picked was an 8.5 that ended up being an 8 or something.
And the Eagles thing was 6.5.
The Eagles was 6.5, and it was 6. Yeah, you just missed it.
And I got jawed by the guy missing the field goal in, Houston?
Houston, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was brutal, that kicker.
What about the Eagles missing 2 extra points?
John, I know. We both, I know.
I'm
a half point off.
I'm on a 6-way parlay.
Oh, boy.
I just need Ohio State to win tonight by 1.5, and I need to go over the over of 38.
Well, you're definitely going to get Ohio State
38.
Winning.
38?
And you're going to get over 38.
I think you will.
Yeah, you're good. Can you divulge?
I think it's 38.
Does it have a comma?
What kind of financial windfall are we looking at here?
Let me just tell you, Mama, I'm taking Mama shopping.
Wow. I like that.
All right, John, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Ohio State, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't really have a rooting interest in this one because both teams, I've always been told I should hate them.
And root for Notre Dame. But it should have been it should have been Penn State tonight. If the quarterback didn't completely bungle the fourth quarter and much of the game. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armand Chevrolet. Check out Armand's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at armandchevy.com. That's armandchevy.com. Together, let's drive. I thought this was a hard poll question, not one that really even matters, because we love Saquon, we love Jalen Carter. They both were great. We were just asking who was the player of the game. I mean, they both had a massive hand. John, who do you think won our poll, Saquon or Jalen Carter?
Saquon.
65% Saquon, 35% Jalen Carter. It's hard to play a game that great and not be the player of the game.
And I think there's an offensive bias. When you have those explosive plays where you're scoring touchdowns and it looks that good, it really is hard to compete.
But I really did think Jalen Carter not only played a great game in general, I thought he maybe saved the season at the end. All right, let's go ahead, John. Seth.
There's one phrase that John just used that I absolutely hate in today's football.
Uh-oh.
It has absolutely destroyed common sense in offensive football.
Okay.
Explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, everything's about stopping the explosive play instead of.
But things are starting to swing back a little bit. When you say, I mean, look, there's a lot of running going on. I mean, the Chiefs ran a lot, the Bills ran a lot, the Eagles ran a lot.
Well, you know, I ran the numbers going into, you know, our game yesterday, and the teams that have, you know, primarily ran the ball 35 times to maybe 27 passes over the weekend, won. Teams that threw the ball more than they ran it lost. Over all the playoffs, from all the wild card games right on down to the divisional round leading up to our game.
So look, here's what
I got to add, and I know what it's
sure.
going to be.
No
just,
question.
Just looking at who won and what the stats look like, mm-hmm. I'll just add those numbers.
Yeah.
But with the Eagles running the ball 42 times, I think it was yesterday, and then you had the Bills running the ball. They ran it more than they threw it yesterday. You're right. It's moving back to where it really should be.
Here's what's going to be interesting. If general managers this April start drafting bigger linebackers again, because they've gone away from that, and that's a possibility. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. We always love Time's Yours. We particularly love it after a big Eagles win, especially when it's a playoff game. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
The Eagles are a team on a mission, baby. That mission is to give me a freaking heart attack. Go, Birds!
Well, not bad. I mean, you're right. They accomplished... That was very scary. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, there you go. Another mediocre performance by our quarterback. What are we going to do, man? Jeez. I guess we'll just win. How's that? Is that good enough this week? Winning? Is it? Time is yours.
Yes, it is, sir. It's good enough this week.
I know the weather's bad, but, you know, I haven't seen any new wrinkle at all in the offense. Do you think the offensive coordinator was distracted by something?
Well.
There's only three interviews.
Yeah, three's a lot.
That's just ridiculous.
Three's a lot.
Survive in advance. And that's what we did. And we're going to host the NFC Championship game here next week at the Link. I get Josh Harris and the Commanders, and if you thought we ripped Jared Verse was bad, wait till we sound our voice on the Sixers owner, Josh Harris. Let's go, Burks!
Yeah, the Josh Harris thing is a wild storyline this week.
Saquon Barkley, God's gift to Philadelphia, is the best thing to happen to this city since cheesesteak. Go Birds, baby!
I don't know if I agree with that.
Ambitious statement.
All right, and with that, Time's Yours, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
With the way the game has changed, you really are, as a weak side linebacker, bigger than defensive ends in today's game. Like, you are as big as, I don't even know how to compare it. It really, like, you're what, 6'3", 255?
When I played or right now?
Both. I mean, you look like kind of the same.
No, trust me.
Is it that different?
I played between 240 and 245 on the low end. As my career went up, I went up a little bit. And I play strong side. I played over the tight end. But in nickel and dime situations, I played off the ball.
Uh-huh. So that's like the weak.
So
the low.
And in today's NFL, I get it. It's like, oh, you know, it's the 3-4 front. So you got guys like, you know, Hassan Reddick and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically, you know, in the 4-man front, in my opinion, they're defensive end. I don't know why they're classified as outside linebackers. Because the only thing they do is rush.
Almost every play. Yeah.
And when they do. And
almost
then,
every. I agree with you.
And when you see them drop, you understand why all they should do is rush.
But they're even they're significantly smaller than you.
Well,
the guy who used to be pass dropping, you know, hook curl. Like, you can do all that stuff at 6'3".
That's the point I was making earlier. Like, Berge and Trott in today's NFL, where coordinators and general managers have been trying to stop the pass. Like, where are they in the defense?
Well,
I don't know.
Those guys in today's game,
I don't know.
It'd be hard to keep them on the field.
They might be a small defensive lineman.
Well, I mean, if they're playing linebacker and they're off the ball, Joe, my point is.
Yeah, I know. We're on the
like
same goal
line,
they're only.
They're going to game plan them.
Yeah.
In your three wide receiver sets, you either force to play them on the tight end or play them on the back or go single high safety and drop the tight end. You know, bring the safety down on the tight end and have the middle linebacker play the middle of the field.
All right, Seth, one last question because we're getting low on time here. We got about 1 minute. Jaden Daniels, would you say he is already the fifth best quarterback in football? If the top four in whatever order are Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen, do you think he's five?
I don't give any young guy that kind of respect. Show me you can do it from year to year. I'm not giving you that in 1 year.
Even if he beats Eagles?
No. We had, how many times have we had one-year wonders? You know, so let's wait and see before we start crowning guys. Huh. He could go completely in the tank next year. And, you know, here we are talking about, you know, how what a great rookie year he had. And by the way, they don't stand a snowball's chance in hell of winning here on Sunday. You know that, right? Now,
I don't think it's that definitive, James, but you said it.
James, make sure you take that and play that all damn week.
Drop of the week. There it is. Hey, everybody. Have a spectacular rest of the day. What a great job by the Eagles. Seriously, congrats to the team, the organization. Back to an NFC Championship game is real special. Seth will be back with us next Monday. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day.